Welcome His Holiness Rajnath Swami Maharaj. As you all know, Rajnath Swami Maharaj is the ISKCON GBC initiating spiritual master and an inspiring person for many people connected with him and otherwise. We are very happy to have him here. We also welcome all of your devotees who have taken time out to be here on such a auspicious day in inverted commas. I particularly am pleased to see there are many senior devotees here who have come all the way from townside to be with us. It's very gratifying to us. January 26, Republic Day, otherwise was just a mundane holiday since 2 years back. But from last year, it has acquired special significance because we have started this program where we have Maharaj come and address the devotees on this evening of 26th. And we are hoping that this will be an ongoing festival, that is January 26th evening. So we are hoping that Maharaj will set aside 26th evening for ISKCON Juhu Terrace. Thank you, Maharaj. I request Brajhari Prabhu, our temple president, to come and garland His Holiness Rajnath Swami.
Hare Krishna. It is a great honor and pleasure to have this very special opportunity to be with all of you in our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's personal office, Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple. Special gratitude to Brajahari Prabhu, Kapila Dev Prabhu, Mukunda Madhav Prabhu for so kindly welcoming me, and to all of you for giving your precious time. Kapila Dev Prabhu was telling us that today is Republic Day. Very special. There's a famous lecture in the early 70s given by His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj. It was probably filmed by our beloved Yadubar Prabhu, who is gracing the occasion tonight, where there are, it looks like, it's a black and white film, because it was in the early days, it looks like there are tens and thousands of people sitting there in the audience, and they're very enthusiastically listening. And it's Bengal. And Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, he actually grew up very close to where I grew up. I just lived a few miles from the border of Wisconsin. And he was from Wisconsin, Midwest United States. In the 1960s, when he was just a teenager, he came to the path of bhakti. And he came to India to assist Srila Prabhupada. In a few years, interestingly, Wisconsin is called the Dairy State because it is famous for cows. Millions of cows. So he came from there. And within a few years, he was speaking fluent, perfect Bengali language. And he was teaching the religion, the scriptures, and the culture of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in Bengali to Bengalis. And tens and thousands of people were coming to hear this young American boy in his early 20s speaking to them about their heritage and their cultures, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, in such beautiful Bengali. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was so impressed by him that he told our Srinathji Prabhu, who's also here, told Srinathji's father, please arrange Indian citizenship for Jaipatak Swami. He is a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya. And in this movie, he's speaking such enthusiastic Bengali. I don't know what he was saying, but he was talking about Krishna. And at a certain point, at the crescendo of the talk, when everybody's at the edge of their seats, he screams out, the United Nations of the spiritual world. Confirmed. That's the Bombay conch shell, the horns of the cows, invoking auspiciousness. And real, for us, of course, we are so honored and grateful, this great land of India, and all those people who are defending and protecting the land of India. But there's also a spiritual Republic Day. I believe Republic Day is the day when the Constitution was authorized. Yes? To unite us on common principles. Bhima Prabhu, my dandavats for you. Thank you. Our constitution is Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita are the scriptures whose principles constitute our individual lives and how we should live together. What is our purpose? What do we have in common? What are the spiritual regulative principles, the rules, the laws, the inspiration, the philosophy toward creating the spiritual world in this world? Srila Prabhupada named this project Heaven on Earth, yes? Heaven means not Swargaloka, it means, in this sense, Vaikuntha Loka, the spiritual world. But we need a constitution. And Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, and the author of our constitution is Srila Vedavyas, the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, books are the basis. The teachings of Sri Bhagavatam is the very basis of our lives. Savai pung shang paro dharmo yatho bhaktir hokshajaya hoitaki apriti hataya yatma suprasediti. That the supreme dharma can be explained in many ways. Occupation, religion, the moral codes of what's right. But Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas gave such a deep meaning of dharma. Dharma means the inseparable nature of a person or a thing. The dharma of a chili pepper is it is hot. You will never bite into a very menthol, freshing, cool chili pepper. It's hot. The nature of sugar is it's sweet. The nature of every living being is to serve. We all have to serve something or someone. We either serving our nation or our family, or we're serving our mind and senses. So in our occupation, in our family life, our kula dharma, we have so many responsibilities to serve. But what is the inseparable constitutional nature of the Atma, our eternal self? That is Sanatan Dharma, our essential eternal service. And that is service to Bhagavan, to the Absolute Truth, to God, Krishna. And this verse of Bhagavatam that says the supreme dharma is unconditional, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Lord. Only that will really satisfy our hearts, because that is our nature. Srila Prabhupada explains, if you take a fish out of water and put that fish in the sand, you can give that fish the most beautiful Miss Arabian Sea, the most beautiful female fish to lay by his side. You can give him jewels, silks, you can give him a Mercedes Benz. But he'll never be happy, not really happy. He could be superficially, temporarily, transiently happy by those things. But he's not in his nature. It's his nature to be in the sea. So it is our nature to love God. It is our nature to serve God. It is our nature to see the world as God's property. It is our nature to see every living being as Krishna's children. That will make us happy, because that's what the soul, that's what the heart is yearning for, longing for. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam are not just theoretical theses. I remember some years ago, I was invited to speak in a academic circle in Kentucky of the United States. And some scholars spoke, I spoke, and some other people spoke. And as we were coming out in the parking lot, one PhD professor, he was with his wife, he came up to me and said, "I don't understand why you serve Krishna." He said, "I got my PhD in Gita Govinda." He knows it by memory, absolutely. He started reciting all these verses in beautiful voice. He was a musician too. He was reciting Gita Govinda. Said, "I know every word of it. And I also studied profusely, and I'm a professor teaching thousands of students over my career the Bhagavad Gita." He started reciting verses. And he said, "Why would anyone worship a god that hides in the bushes with young ladies?" I told him, you may have gotten your PhD in the postgraduate study of all scriptures, the Gita Govinda, but you can't understand it properly unless you go back to the first and second chapters of Bhagavad Gita. First, you have to understand who Krishna is. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrichchati. Krishna explains, the peace formula to understand that the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Lord, Krishna, is the proprietor of everything that exists. It's the supreme controller of all controllers, the ultimate enjoyer of everything, and the best loving, well-wishing friend of all beings. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matvam bhajante mam buddha bhava samantita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. If Krishna's the proprietor of everything, if Krishna's the father and the mother of every living being, your body is Krishna's property. And something else, your wife, she was standing there, she is Krishna's property too. The problem is not that Krishna's in the bushes with somebody else's wife, somebody else's property. The problem is you go to bed with Krishna's property. What about that, Mr. PhD? Did you create her or did Krishna create her? Are you maintaining her? Give her some money, but who's giving the sun and who's giving the rain and who's giving the air and who's giving all the seeds of the earth and who's giving the trees to make the paper for the money? It's not you, it's Krishna, it's the Lord. You know what his reply was? I was being very respectful, but I was also not very happy with his question. So we have to understand the basic principles before we could understand these very high subjects. Krishna's Leela, these gopis, are absolutely pure liberated souls who have surrendered their hearts and souls to Krishna. And Krishna dancing with gopis is the ultimate expression of the highest form of spiritual love. Shukadev Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, the most detached, renounced philosophers and yogis throughout the history of the world. They honor the love of Krishna and the gopis as the highest pinnacle of spiritual revelation, the purest form of spiritual love. And his reply to me was, myself and my wife are late for breakfast. And they went for breakfast. I said, thank you very much. Have a, enjoy your breakfast. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Take us from the most elementary, fundamental, simple principles of spirituality, of who we are, to understanding who is God, what is material nature, what is karma, of how the laws by which material nature work, how we're affected by time, the all-powerful time which never stops. And what are the relationships between the jiva, the soul, God, time, material nature, prakriti, and karma? And the laws of nature are given. You see, the laws of the constitution, they make amendments every now and then because they see they don't work. But the laws of God, there's no need for amendments. They're applied by great acharyas according to time, place, and circumstance, kala, desha, patra. But they're teaching eternal truths. Srila Prabhupada explained, you could change almost everything in this world. You could change your religion. You could change your nationality. You can change your job. You could change your husband or wife. And with the power of modern science, you could change your sex. You could change practically anything. And whether you like it or not, by the power of time, you're going to have to change your body and everything you have connected to your body at the time of death. But there's something that's unchangeable, the essence, Sanatana Dharma. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. That we are all eternally part and parcel of Krishna, of the Supreme Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he performed the Ratha Yatra, this beautiful parade, which symbolizes the highest revelation of the gopis headed by Sri Radha, bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, Gundicha, after so many years. And during that Ratha Yatra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting the Mahabhava of Srimati Radharani, offering the innermost thoughts of love of her heart to Jagannath. And by his grace, through Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that dynamic relationship is being shared with the whole world. But how does he begin Ratha Yatra? With a simple prayer. Naham vipro nacha narapatira napi vaishya na shudra. I'm not a Brahmin or a Kshatriya, vaishya or a Shudra. I'm not a sannyasi, brahmachari, grihasta, vanaprastha. What is my true identity? What cannot be changed? What is my ultimate aspiration? Gopi Bharatur Padakamala Yoradas Adas Adas Anudas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, Shri Krishna. And from that simple prayer, he developed the Ratha Yatra into the highest revelation of ecstatic love. Srila Prabhupada made it very simple. He said, Ratha Yatra is the meditation of bringing Krishna back into our hearts. By cleaning our hearts, Krishna will reveal himself. And then our heart becomes Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, who's come to taste and distribute the love of Sri Radha, is considered to be the very personification of the highest conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam. And his principle was achintya beda beda tattva. inconceivable, simultaneous one and difference. This concept encompasses so many aspects of the truth and of relationships built on the foundation of those truths. We are simultaneously one and different from Ishvara, from Bhagavan, the absolute truth. The absolute truth himself is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Bhagavatam explains, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajkanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabjate. This one truth, this one supreme truth from whom everything emanates and the cause of all causes, eternally has three features: Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. The all-pervading Brahman, that light that pervades everything that exists. Those who strive to achieve Brahman realization strive for mukti, who they conceive of as to be the all-pervading impersonal. Simultaneously, the Lord is Paramatma. He is personally seated within the heart of every living being. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrite sharjuna tishtati. The witness, the guide. And Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, Ram, Narasingha, Narayan, who's in the vast, unlimited spiritual sky, there are the beautiful spiritual planets where the Lord is residing and personally reciprocating unlimited, ever-increasing, ecstatic, loving relationships with unlimited devotees. And people say God is great. People think God is great because, you know, he can destroy and he could create. Certainly, he is great because he can destroy and create. Because we can't, you know, what can we create? We could take some of the materials God gives us and put them together in different type of formulas and say, I have created. Yes, a man and woman come together, I have created this child. But you didn't know what was going on. Yes. A little seed goes from the man to the woman, and then it starts growing, and nobody has some architectural engineering plan of how this child is going to grow. For the first few weeks or months, you don't even know he's there, and it's growing, eyes are coming, and little brain this big starts growing. Little lungs and kidneys and heart, tiny. It's growing in the mother's womb. It's a miracle. Every living being that we look at is a miracle. It's a fact. Inconceivable. And the Lord's within the heart of everyone. And the Lord is always also so great that there are infinite, unlimited living beings. And the Lord could make each one feel that I'm always only with you. Yes? If we try to talk to 10 people in the same room, it's difficult to make sure that everyone thinks that I'm thinking about them. Yes? If you talk to one person a little more than another person, then one person say, why is he showing so much attention to that person? But Krishna can dance with unlimited gopis simultaneously. He could live in 16,108 palaces, and each one, he's with me. God is great. He's Rasa Bihari. That's his ultimate greatness. He's Rasa Bihari. That means he's the enjoyer of unlimited, inconceivable, miraculous relationships of pure love. And he's also Gopinath. Because the gopis are enjoying that Rasabihari so much. So you see, there's no conflict between Gopinath and Rasabihari. So there should be no conflict with any of their devotees either. Why is he Gopinath? He's Gopinath because he's Rasabihari. He's the Lord of the Gopis, not because he's throwing thunderbolts every time they think something wrong. He's Gopinath because he's Rasabihari. He's the enjoyer of the highest, sweetest Madhurya, ecstasy of love, Ras. And when he wants to bring all the gopis together to perform his Rasabihari leelas, he becomes Giridhari and lifts Govardhan Hill and says, come, 7 days, let us enjoy together. And Madan Mohan, who enchants the hearts of all living beings. So the Lord is inconceivably simultaneously different with himself, Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. And the living entity, the Jiva, all of us, we are one with God, but we are also different. Jiva Goswami gives the example of the sun. The sun planet is in one place, has form. But from the sun planet is unlimited sunshine. And within that unlimited sunshine are unlimited sun rays. Each sun ray is one with the sun because it's giving out light and heat, exactly like the sun. But if a sun ray comes into your house, you think, oh, so nice, the sun is in my house. But if the sun planet comes in your house, it's a different experience. So the jiva is different from God in quantity, but one. Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. We are that, one with God. But God is the source of all jivas. We are not. He's the ultimate cause of all causes. Achintyabheda Bheda Tattva. And we are Achintyabheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneously one and different from each other. It's like we are all one, we are all spirit souls. Vidyavanaya Sampani Brahmani Gavai Hastini Suni Chaiva Svapakecha Panditasa Madarshana. Real wisdom of a pandit, a learned sage, is to see every living being with equal vision. Whether one is a Brahmin or an elephant or a cow or a dog or someone who eats them. Because one sees the living force is sacred. The living force is part of God. So we are all one, but we're all different. We're all unique. And we're one simultaneous. Everything in nature is simultaneously one and different. And our relationship with nature. So Lord Chaitanya has given this concept of unity in diversity. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret about where I was earlier today. I changed my mind. You may not understand, but even if you don't understand, I'll tell you. I was, first of all, at our Govardhan farm, and then on the way I was invited to a very mysterious event just to go for a few minutes. It was called the Prana Olympics. Have you ever heard of the Prana Olympics? It will take a long time to explain. But this big company, Prana Animation Company, they're our dear friends. They were having their employees doing these Olympics where there were different teams and they were playing different, challenging contests or whatever, and we brought them some cookie prasad, and and they just wanted us to talk. But anyways, what was it? They asked me to give a little talk to some of them. And we explained that the human nature is we all have our individual egos. And in these individual egos, we have so many differences. And even if we think we have so much in common, you know, if we spend enough time with each other, we understand that we didn't understand. Whether it's in marriage, whether it's in a nation, whether it's in a temple or an ashram, friends, we have different egos. We have different tastes and different challenges that affect our consciousness. But if we have a common goal, and we focus on that common goal, on the basis of that higher principle, we don't take so seriously the differences we have. In this case, they were doing these kind of sporting things. I didn't play. I just gave a little talk to them. But if they're not united, they can't play together. If they actually want to achieve something, they have to put aside their differences for the higher cause. And this is what yoga, this is what bhakti, this is what our constitution of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is teaching. How to unite on a higher principle. It is our tendency to take superficial things or even important things so seriously that it causes us to be disunited, fractured. Srila Prabhupada said, you could show your love for me by how you cooperate. That's a serious test of love. And he quoted the fable, united we stand, divided we fall. He said, if you take a whole lot of little sticks and tie them together, no one can break it. But if you take each stick out separately, you can easily break it. Srila Prabhupada said, our unity is our strength. So in order to actually fulfill our mission, unity is so important. If it's not there, whether we're right or wrong, we can't really accomplish what Krishna wants us to accomplish. And what is that higher principle? Athapumbird Vijastrestas Varana Shrama Vibhagasha Shvanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsidir Haditoshana. To please Krishna. What will please Krishna? And we have our constitution that teaches us what pleases Krishna and how to please Krishna. Unity and diversity. Despite our different opinions, the different temples we may be connected to, the different gurus we may be initiated by, the different childhood traumas that we may have gone through, the different educations that we may have. What is it that we have in common? What is it that is there to unify us? Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamala Yodar Dasa Dasa Anudas. We're all meant to be the servants of Krishna. We're all meant to share with each other our enthusiasm to chant Krishna's holy names and to serve the Lord and to be instruments of Krishna's, Prabhupada's compassion to the world. That's so high and that's so powerful. Everything else is a detail. We have to be very careful to fix our heart on the Siddhanta. But the nature of the mind and the nature of the ego is to cling to things that will disunite us and cause conflict, thinking that it's all important. Unity and diversity. There's unlimited diversity. Just like a flower garland. We have yellow flowers and red flowers and white flowers, and we have roses that have a certain fragrance, and we have champak flowers that have another fragrance, so we have these white, whatever they are, that really don't have much fragrance at all. But it's not that the rose is saying, you useless white flower, out from here. I'm more fragrant than you. No. There's altogether differences of textures, difference of shape, difference of flavor, difference of color, difference of fragrance. But this string makes it into a beautiful garland. And when we offer it to Krishna, Krishna's very happy. He's very pleased. And all the colors make it all the more nicer. That is unity and diversity. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna explains in the Gita, even if you offer me a fruit, a little piece of fruit, or a leaf, or some water, or a flower, if it's offered with devotion, I will accept it. Krishna accepts the intention, the devotion in which something is offered. Srila Prabhupada wrote this several times, that Krishna accepts the intent in which something is offered, not the thing. And the beauty of bhakti is, materially, everyone has full qualifications to attain that perfection, if we're simply sincere. And there's a beautiful story in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that reveals there's no impediment if we're sincere. Lord Chaitanya, he had taken sannyas and moved from Navadvip to Puri. Then he went on his South Indian tour and came back to Puri and told the devotees, I am going to Vrindavan. And all the devotees said, then we will go with you. So he started out. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, when he left Puri, there were thousands of devotees with him. There wasn't any buses or trains or planes. They were just all dance. That was their transportation, dance. They didn't just walk, they danced. Kirtan, constantly. Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya is dancing and singing and everyone's coming with him. And everywhere they went, they would stop in some little village. People were so attracted to his beauty, his beautiful golden form, his lotus-like eyes gazing with unlimited ecstatic love at each person. He would raise his long arms and induce them to chant the holy names, and when they would chant, Lord Chaitanya would be so pleased with them, he would embrace them and say, because you have chanted Krishna's names, you are my life and soul. Their hearts melted. And when he would leave the village, practically every person of the village left with him. Men, women, children, their jobs, their school, they just left, following him. And soon there were millions of people with him. Kaviraj Goswami, the number he gives is koti koti. And Prabhupada translates that as countless, innumerable, unlimited people were with him. And it says everywhere he stepped, people were so enthusiastic they wanted to get dust from his lotus feet. And so many people were going to the same footprint that within seconds after he stepped in a place, there was a hole in the ground. Not like Bombay. Bombay has many holes in the road, but these were sacred holes in the road. And he came to Navadvip, to Kuliagram. And there he stayed at the house of the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he was there for 5 days, and there were just countless people coming to meet him. Then he went to the house of Madhava, Kuliagram, and even more people were going there. It was just floods of enthusiastic people. And all the people who were offensive and who were arrogant and who, you know, committed grievous deeds, he was forgiving all of them and giving them Krishna prema if they sincerely came forward. Then he continued on his journey to Vrindavan. And there was a simple brahmachari whose name was Narasagananda, who we are honored to have with us tonight. Not the brahmachari, but the Prabhu, who's happily married. Narasagananda Brahmachari had no money. He had no property. He had nothing material, but he had devotion. And he felt so concerned that Lord Chaitanya, from Kuliagram to Vrindavan is a very long walk. It takes weeks to walk that distance. Probably over 1,000 kilometers. So he wanted Lord Chaitanya to have such a pleasurable walk. You know, today, if you really love somebody and they're flying to London, you may get them a first-class ticket or something. Narasagananda, what arrangements he made. He sat down on the roadside under a tree and closed his eyes to meditate. In his meditation, he wanted the Lord to walk on the most beautiful road ever created. He made a road in his mind. And the first thing he did is he paved every inch of the road with diamonds, emeralds, rubies, sapphires, lapis lazulis, the most precious gold and silver. But that's kind of hard on your feet. He took limitless flowers and he plucked the stem off every one of those flowers and covered the jeweled road with that. So it was absolutely soft for Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet to dance upon. It was a wide road. Wide enough for all the devotees with him. But that wasn't enough. He was so thorough. He was literally going 1 meter at a time. He was building it. It's not that he just, okay, a road to Vrindavan. No, he was actually putting it together, putting the jewels, putting the stemless flowers 1 meter at a time. This was his meditation. And on the side of the road, 1 meter at a time, he was creating beautiful trees, especially bakula trees, with fragrant bakula flowers blossoming, blooming. And then he arranged for beautiful peacocks and parrots and singing birds like kokila, cuckoo birds, to be singing for Lord Chaitanya. And he would be going by and he'd be seeing these trees. He'd be walking on the flowers. He'd be hearing the birds. And behind the trees, he created lakes. Each lake, the water was fragrant and it tasted like nectar. Each lake was filled with lotus flowers, fresh, fully bloomed blue lotus, pink lotus, white lotus flowers. And surrounding the lotus were very, very elegant swans swimming about. He was totally absorbed with love. When we are absorbed with love in the service of the Lord, it may be in cooking for Krishna, decorating our home or the temple for Krishna, speaking to someone about Krishna, giving someone a book about Krishna, sweeping a floor for Krishna. When we are absorbed with love, Krishna, he's bhaktivatsal. By his own will, he's conquered by the love of a devotee who has that absorption. As Lord Chaitanya was walking, dancing along the road, with his eyes, he was seeing every inch, wherever he looked, what was in Narasinghananda Brahmachari's mind. He wasn't seeing the dusty old Bengali roads. He was seeing the jewels, the flowers. He was feeling them on his feet. He was seeing within his eyes. He was hearing those birds singing. He was tasting the water and the fragrance of the lotuses and the lakes. That was the reality that Lord Chaitanya was witnessing. That is the highest reality. It is true reality, the reality of the love between us and God. The world is illusory. The reality is our love for God. And there Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna is bhavagrahi janardana. He tastes, he accepts, he enjoys the love of his devotee, the absorption and the intent of his devotee. When we are chanting the holy names of Krishna, there are different levels of chanting, but our aspiration is to please Krishna by the devotion of our chanting. Sometimes devotees say, you know, I'm not feeling happiness when I chant. Well, maybe the reason you don't feel happiness when you chant is because you're trying to be happy when you chant. The real happiness of chanting is when you're chanting to make Krishna happy. Even if I feel miserable, I'm trying to chant with sincerity for Krishna's happiness. I'm acknowledging with gratitude the unlimited gifts that Krishna's giving me. And I'm trying to offer back my heart and my soul with the intent to love him. That's how we're chanting. And Krishna's happy with that. Krishna was happy with the sincerity of our intent. And when you water the root of the tree, if we're actually doing it for Krishna, that's when we'll find not the superficial happiness of the ever-flickering mind, but the actual happiness of the soul. When Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta, he was seasick. For those of you who've been really seasick, it's intolerable. Your whole head is just spinning, and there's such intense, unbearable nausea. I've often told a story where I was on this boat in the Pacific, and I got so seasick. There were some sharks around, and I actually jumped out with a life preserver. Because I just could, it was just, I didn't mind getting eaten by a shark, but I couldn't tolerate the seasickness. Anyways, somehow or other, Krishna saved me. Prabhupada was seasick. And along with the seasickness, heart attacks. But what did he write in his diary? Krishna, my Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, asked me to go to the West to give your teachings. I feel so far from Vrindavan, my home, where Radha Gopinath, Radha Damodar, Radha Madan Mohan, my worshipable lords, but I am happy. Because this is what you and my Gurudev want me to do. That's ahoitiki apratihata, unmotivated and uninterrupted. He was in the highest state of spiritual ecstasy because he was absorbed in love. Transcendental beyond all of the realities of bodily difficulties. This is our aspiration, to really be absorbed in pleasing Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he explained that the difficulties, the inconveniences, the sufferings that I endure to please you, Krishna, in your service, are the sources of my greatest happiness. Bhakti is not just a sentiment. The more we're absorbed in trying to please Krishna, trying to please Srila Prabhupada, the Vaishnavas, trying to give pleasure to all living beings by connecting them, that's real happiness. That's the nature of the soul. That's the higher principle we read about in Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam. Narasingha Nanda Brahmachari, he was absorbed and he was pleasing Lord Chaitanya. And all of a sudden, he came out of his meditation. And he said to the devotees, Lord Chaitanya is not going to Vrindavan. They said, what are you talking? He's already gone. He's left. He's wanted to go so many years. What can stop him? He said, he's not going. They said, how do you know? You know, that's not that there were cell phones where he was getting some phone call at Lord Chaitanya's. He said, because I couldn't pave the road or make the lakes or the swans or put the flower petals, I couldn't go beyond Kanai Natashala. So he'll only go to Kanai Natashala and then he will come back. And Lord Chaitanya came to Kanai Natashala. And by the influence of Sanatana Goswami, who said, don't go to Vrindavan with millions of people. You know, you'll be happier if you go with less people or yourself. So he turned back. He couldn't go beyond. the love of his devotee, the love of Sanatan Goswami, the love of Narasinghananda Brahmachari. By their will, he couldn't. This is inconceivable, one indifference. He could do anything, but he can't do everything. He could have gone. He's the controller of all controllers. But by his own sweet will, he's controlled by the love of his devotee. And he couldn't go beyond because of that love. Yashoda Mai, when she went to bind Krishna by ropes, she had dozens and dozens of meters of ropes tied together, and his waist was only this big. His waist didn't grow, but no matter how many ropes she put around, it was 2 inches, 2 fingers too short. But because she was so absorbed for Krishna's pleasure, in Krishna's service, he agreed to be bound by the rope of his mother's love. On this Republic Day, let us, as Jaipatak Maharaj exclaimed, let us understand the beautiful gift of this United Nations of the spiritual world and the basic universal principles of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita that could bind us all together on the higher principle of pure devotional service. You see, the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is the constitution in this sense, the Shastra for all humanity. Vedavyas wrote it in Sanskrit. And this was Srila Prabhupada's mission. In Vrindavan, he dedicated so much his life and soul to translate it into English and then to inspire devotees to translate it in almost every language in the world to create that unity in diversity. In the loving service of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. Thank you very much. Shall we perform kirtan? Please chant very loudly.